Okay. At this point, we'll close out the workshop, and we will go right into our regular agenda. Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the meeting of the Commonwealth Transportation Board here on May 18th, 2011. We're going to start out with public comments. Anyone like to speak today regarding anything? Anyone? No? How many we got? How many folks do we have? Can I just get a show of hands, please?
Oh, my God. We're going to be here all day.
All right, so we're going to have to limit the folks to about 3 minutes. Okay? Great. Pollard, go ahead.
Mr. Secretary, members of the CTB, my name is Tripp Pollard. I'm the Land and Community Program Director for the Southern Development Law Center. And I'd like to address the proposed resolution on the Northern Virginia North-South Corridor of Statewide Significance that's on your agenda today, and express our concerns with the lack of adequate process for considering this resolution. These are not new concerns. Since this first came up in March, I have talked with you, Mr. Secretary, Deputy Secretary Tyer, Commissioner Worley, Mr. Coulombe, who was the initial sponsor of the resolution, to outline these concerns, and I appreciate the communications we've had. They have helped me at least better understand the objectives of this resolution and to clarify some misunderstandings and points. But the process concerns I've raised and still have not been addressed. And I outlined these concerns in a letter to each board member last week, and hope you all got that May 12th, when I found this resolution was going to be on for today. And these concerns have only increased as I've seen some of the resolutions and emails from various localities and local elected officials expressing their concern over this resolution and the lack of consultation with them. The core of our concern really is that the current set of 11 corridors that were approved as part of V-Trans 2035 was the product of extensive expert analysis, interagency collaboration, local consultation, and public input. And we heard Deputy Secretary Tyer talk about that some earlier today. But in contrast, the proposal to add this new corridor has been put forward outside of the V-Trans process with little analysis and almost no opportunity for meaningful input from localities or the public. To date, no new corridor has ever been created outside of V-Trans. This proposal, therefore, should either be considered as part of the process that is currently underway to develop the next V-Trans plan, or it should be considered once a process has been established and followed as to how you want to consider amendments to V-Trans to change, add, or delete the COSS. There's been a whole lot of discussion about what this resolution will or will not do in the press and letters and whatnot, and about whether or not it's a good idea. I really don't want to address right now the merits of this proposed solution, because regardless of the merits, I think we need to get the process right, and that any decision on this corridor before a more thorough and collaborative review can take place would set a bad precedent. It would also risk undermining the very purposes that you created and General Assembly created, this concept of corridors. And it would also be inconsistent with the commitment of the governor and all of you to sound analysis and public input. So we believe that the process for V-Trans that's already underway provides the most appropriate opportunity for proper consideration of any new corridors, especially since this process will already include, as my understanding, reevaluation of all existing corridors. So we would urge you to fold consideration of this proposed one into V-Trans, and you could even make analysis and consideration of this proposal a priority in V-Trans. As you try to figure out what to do, this has been identified as an issue. We can put it in the front of the line in terms of what we're considering and evaluating, but that's the best place to consider it. If, on the other hand, you do decide to consider this proposal to add a corridor outside of the normal process of developing the state plan, it's critical that this some provision be made for meaningful expert analysis, interagency collaboration, local input, and public comments. Once a policy is adopted for considering changing, adding, or deleting corridors, then it should be applied to this proposal to ensure that your decision is informed by detailed analysis and adequate input. There's no emergency or other reason to avoid setting and following an adequate process. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pollard. So, 3 minutes or so. Next. Yeah. Who's next? Who would like to come up?
Good afternoon. I'm Tracy Gordon with Prince William County Government, and I'm here to reiterate the county's longstanding support of the North-South Corridor that is often referred to as the Bi- or Tri-County Parkway. The county has consistently supported the corridor in state, regional, and local planning documents to include our most recently adopted comprehensive plan. The corridor is a vital link to Dulles Airport for the county, and it's critical to economic development for the entire region and state. So we would ask for your support in establishing it as a corridor of statewide significance. Thank you.
Excellent. Back on schedule. Yes, Mr. House.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and members of the CTB, my name is Todd House. I'm with Micron Technology. We are a semiconductor manufacturer in the city of Manassas. Just for information, we are Virginia's largest export by value. What we produce at our facility, we have about 1,700 employees who work at our facility. And interestingly, Dulles is a lifeblood for our facility. We receive many of our critical parts that maintain our tools from Dulles. And in fact, daily we ship our products out and receive our products using Dulles Airport. So clearly, better access to Dulles is important for Micron Technology. So we encourage you to pass this resolution establishing the bi-county and tri-county corridors. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Who's next? Mr. Piper.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board, I'm Rob Clapper, President and CEO of the Prince William Chamber of Commerce in Prince William County, Virginia. I want to start by saying the resolution you're voting on today is one that more than almost 2,000 member businesses and approximately 100,000 employees that they employ are passionate about and are looking for your leadership to see that the corridor of statewide significance identification is not only important to our community, but it's a critical to economic vitality and the economic needs of our community well into the future. As the largest business organization in the metropolitan D.C. and Northern Virginia markets, we asked the business community to help us quantify the importance of this issue. In a recent poll conducted by the Prince William Chamber, 3 out of 4 respondents ranked the North-South Corridor as the top priority for our region. The only issue that received higher marks was B-poll reform. As the largest chamber of commerce in Northern Virginia and the Metro D.C. region, I stand before you today urging your support of the Parkway as a corridor of statewide significance. Whether it's the Prince William Realtors Association, the Northern Virginia Builders Association, the Prince William Economic Development Alliance, or finally a joint resolution from Loudoun County and Prince William County Chambers and their Board of Directors, this issue is a regional issue, and it's got significant regional support. The Alliance, the Economic Development Alliance I referenced earlier, is a group of appointed business leaders who are charged by the Prince William County Board of Supervisors to strategically look at strategies to guide our community into the future. They all agree that the Northern Virginia North-South Corridor is a great idea. Prince William County, Virginia lives within one of the most vibrant economic zones in the United States, the Washington, D.C. metro area. Prince William and Loudoun counties are among Virginia's fastest growing areas. 50% of Virginia's population growth in 2000 to 2010 occurred in Northern Virginia. This trend is expected to continue well beyond 2030. Unless we want to stop people from migrating to Northern Virginia, we need to build the transportation infrastructure necessary to support our future population. And we're number one, but that would be number one nationally in congestion. Anyone who commutes to a job near or inside the Beltway on I-95 or 66 doesn't need much of an explanation of what that means. The delay in building or beginning to identify this parkway or north-south corridor will only contribute to further congestion. 62% of Prince William County's employed residents travel outside of the county and or must cross the county to work each day. Of that 62%, 22.6% spend 30 to 59 minutes in their car. 39.4% spend over an hour in their car driving to and from work. So if you're one of those folks who happens to be married to or a family of one of those, you may sympathize with the vast majority of Prince William County commuters. You might even consider that this is a great opportunity to relieve gridlock. The next step in solving our commuting nightmare is has come before the Commonwealth Transportation Board in order to identify the north-south corridor as a corridor of statewide significance. These parkways mean economic growth, businesses will relocate, and ultimately create jobs. The best way to alleviate the traffic program and improve the quality of life for Prince William County residents is to take people off the road, thanks to local opportunities and state leadership relieving congestions in those areas. This topic has advocates on both sides. It has been the Chamber's observation that the folks against transportation solutions in Prince William County and Northern Virginia aren't part of the 62% of the commuting public. They are organized, they're active, and they vocally express their displeasure with this initiative. But I challenge, they remember the Prince William County and Loudoun counties of the 1970s and the 1980s, not the fastest and the second fastest growing counties in the Commonwealth over the last decade. So on behalf of the largest Chamber of Commerce in Northern Virginia and the nearly 100,000 employees we represent, I ask that you support the first step to allowing our community to plan for economic development opportunities for the future. I urge you to support the resolution. Thank you.
Right, Ms. Clapper. Who's next? Ms. Drake? Oh, I thought you were going to go.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and distinguished members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. My name is Christian Deschauer, and I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Fairfax County Chamber of Commerce, an organization that represents over 250,000 individuals in Northern Virginia through our member companies. I'm here before you today to testify on behalf of the Chamber in support of the Northern Virginia North-South Corridor of Statewide Significance. As the resolution notes, the population of Northern Virginia is expected to grow by 55% in the next 2.5 decades. Therefore, it is imperative that we proactively plan today for the transportation needs of tomorrow, as the quality of our infrastructure contributes significantly to Northern Virginia's ability to keep and attract business. This proposed corridor of significance is an important piece of the region's infrastructure needs. Studies have consistently shown that there is a need for improved north-south travel in this corridor, and making these improvements will aid in the future development of our regional economy. Adding this corridor will also improve north-south access to Dulles International Airport, an important contributor to the economic vitality of Northern Virginia. But this is not just a regional issue. Northern Virginia is the economic engine of the Commonwealth, and providing the infrastructure our businesses need to efficiently move people and goods is vital to the future prosperity of Virginia as a whole. The time to act on this is now, and the Fairfax County Chamber of Commerce asks for your support of the Northern Virginia North-South Corridor of Statewide Significance. Appreciate the opportunity to speak for you today. On behalf of the Chamber, thank you all for your service to the Commonwealth.
Thank you very much. Who's next?
Good afternoon. Thank you for providing me this opportunity to speak. My name is Dan Holmes. I'm here on behalf of Piedmont Environmental Council. We are asking for a rejection of this resolution for the following reasons. One, as identified by the first speaker, Mr. Pollard, we feel that it is imperative that VDOT and this board provide a process that would include consultation of local governments, the public, and interested parties. Based on numerous letters, emails, and resolutions by local governments and citizens, it is clear this proposal has not been fully vetted, nor has it been evaluated against other solutions that are likely to ease congestion in a more cost-effective manner. Secondly, we don't dispute the congestion of Northern Virginia, but there's been no evidence presented here today to justify the need of this route. Not only were not other alternatives not considered, existing traffic counts don't demonstrate the majority of vehicles traveling in a north-south pattern. Matter of fact, it's more of east-west, tied to long-established commuting patterns. It would be irresponsible to designate this corridor and present it as a solution without providing adequate information to justify it above other alternatives supported by localities and reflecting actual commuting patterns. Lastly, our concern for the Manassas battlefield. This corridor would severely impact access to Bronner Farm and the unfinished railroad cut. It would create the need for a new access road based upon the landscape. This new access road would almost surely disturb portions where the most intense fighting occurred during the Second Battle of Manassas, just in time for the sesquicentennial. It is our sincere hope that this board will reject the resolution and develop a process not only for future consideration of corridors of statewide significance, but also one that would look at this specific issue and a study that would develop a series of options and their estimated costs so we could actually have a real idea of what type of solution would be necessary to solve the congestion for Northern Virginia for the long term. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Who's next? Mr. Becker.
Mr. Chairman and members of the CTB Board of Directors. My name is Roy Beckner. I live in Gainesville, Virginia, and I am gainfully employed at this stage in my life by a site development company that not only serves the 400 employees and the economic development process in Northern Virginia, but desires the mobility that we need to go north and south through the Northern Virginia area. For more than 70 years, I have lived and worked in Northern Virginia. Mobility is extremely important to us, and quite frankly, the time is now for you to approve the resolution, and I urge you to do so, so that the corridors of statewide significance can include the Tri-County, Bi-County parkways as they are known. It's important for us to preserve the quality of life that we desire for ourselves and our families, and I urge you today to approve that resolution. And thank you kindly for giving me the opportunity to be here this afternoon.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Mr. Shepherd.
Mr. Chairman, members of the CTB, my name is Leo Sheffer. I'm speaking for the Washington Airports Task Force, and I'm here to support designation of that north-south corridor of statewide significance. I would prefer it, actually, if you called it the Dulles World Gateway Corridor of north-south significance, but I'll settle for north-south. If we look at the VTrans project plan, you see that five corridors of statewide significance essentially end up at Hampton Roads. Not one connects with Dulles Airport. When that plan was about to come towards you for approval, the secretary called me and asked if the task force would look at what needed to be done to link Dulles Airport into the system of corridors of statewide significance. We provided a study, and as a result of that, the final report had a reference not to a corridor of statewide significance connecting to Dulles, but noted the need for north-south connectivity running past Dulles. To emphasize some of this, if you look at the land use plans of the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments, you find that based on their members' land use plans, nearly 80% of all the growth in the entire Metropolitan Washington area is projected to come in the four western counties by 2040. That's Stafford, Prince William, Loudoun, and Frederick in Maryland. Loudoun is planning more jobs than housing to support its growth. Prince William is planning slightly more housing than jobs. Stafford and Frederick counties are planning to be dormitory suburbs. Now that, with 80% of the growth coming in those counties, shows that on top of today's very significant north-south commuting demand, those four counties are going to be overwhelmed with north-south commuting if we're not very careful. Now that's commuters. Dulles Airport is in its infancy as a cargo gateway. About 40% by value of the world's exports today move by air. The urgent high-value items move by air. We know that there's a new generation of manufacturing, very high-tech manufacturing, the sort of in the pharmaceutical side where we're going to be tailoring individual drugs to individual human genomes. That type of manufacture can be attracted to Virginia. We have all the brain power, the research, the universities, the capability to attract that type of manufacture, bar one thing, and that is we need a good air freight network to move those future manufactured goods between their manufacture here and where they're going to be used. And it will be need to be high-speed transportation. Loudoun County and the Airports Authority in March launched a program to build cargo use of Dulles Airport. And they've done that deliberately for two reasons. One, because they recognize that today cargo use of Dulles will be built upon cargo trucked in, much of it from outside the state, about 40% of it from within the state. And as that builds a cargo network, so we will enhance Virginia's attractiveness for future manufacturing. The second thing I'd like to point out is that you completed a very good freight study recently. That freight study shows that it shows the big bottlenecks to freight in Virginia. The third biggest bottleneck is the junction of Route 28 and I-66, which is a primary gateway to Dulles. Three of the top bottlenecks are in Northern Virginia on routes that connect the Commonwealth to Dulles. If we look at that Route 28 bottleneck, just on freight, trucks are being delayed a total of more than 500,000 hours a year. And you add in all the commuter traffic and regular automobile traffic that gets delayed by that bottleneck, and you'll begin to see why a different study presented to the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments Freight Conference recently, a study which showed that the area between I-66 and Dulles is identified as a major future freight choke point, second only to Jessup in Maryland in the metropolitan area. I could go on at length, I won't, but there is overwhelming evidence to show that the Commonwealth's economy is going to benefit from better connectivity between its gateway, its world gateway at Dulles, and the rest of the Commonwealth. Without that, the Commonwealth just won't be able to benefit, as it's been doing in the past, from Dulles Airport. So I would urge you to approve the North-South corridor of statewide significance. I'd further note, finally note, what we're talking about is planning. You start the process of planning with that corridor of statewide significance. And I would suggest to you that the beauty of planning is that it's a case of plan now or pay later. And believe you me, we've been paying for poor planning in Northern Virginia for a very long time. This is a chance to start getting it right. Thank you.
Mr. Shepard, thank you very much. Is there anyone else?
Good afternoon. My name is Kurt Krause, and I'm here representing the Loudoun Chamber of Commerce. I'm also the general manager of the National Conference Center in Loudoun County, the largest conference center in the entire country. I'm here to support the designation of the new North-South Corridor of statewide significance that includes the bi-county and tri-county parkways. This designation is about access, it's about smart economic development, and about our ability to take full advantage of a significant economic engine and one of the Commonwealth's most precious assets. Without the designation, Dulles Airport will continue to be limited to its means of distribution. The need and demand is well documented. Without it, my customers at the conference center will have limited means to travel to my center. By the way, my business generates about $2.5 million in tax revenue for the county of Loudoun. Without it, I will find it more difficult to attract a workforce, whether it's from Prince William, Maryland, or West Virginia, to serve a whatever's left of a customer base. Somehow members of our county's elected body have chosen an isolationist transportation policy, pretending that travel moves only east and west. This view is incorrect and is just not in the best interest of our region, much less Loudoun County. As the Chamber's Vice Chair, as a business manager, and a county resident, I urge the Board to ensure transportation access that our visitors and citizens need. You have the Loudoun Chamber's full support. Let's work together and create the best environmentally responsible transportation corridor, a corridor that moves goods and peoples efficiently through our county and region, one that can be multimodal, multidimensional, and a product of progressive 21st century thinking. To quote my favorite line from last week's State of the Transportation Address to an overflowing business crowd, Mr. Secretary aptly said, "It is time that everyone get a grip on reality." Thank you.
Who was that guy? You don't have that on tape, I hope. Anyone else? Anyone else like to say anything? Great. Outstanding. Missed it by that much. Mr. Schwartz, go ahead.
Well, Mr. Chase and I play a game every time. It's sort of after you, my dear Alphonse, and each wants to be the last, I guess. I think we're going to have at least one more on our side. I'm Stuart Schwartz, Director of the Coalition for Smarter Growth. We work in the D.C. region and have partnerships with the conservation, business, and housing communities. Also work with groups in the Shenandoah Valley, the Richmond area, and some other parts of the state. I think what Trip Pollard said earlier, and I don't want you to forget what he had said, because he's thought a lot about this, and we've looked at the V-Trans process that you've had before, and I think that's what this really comes down to, is that we need to follow the process that we used for the original V-Trans and the original designation of the corridors of statewide significance. I think very much the give and take, the back and forth you're hearing today, documents the need to have that advanced process before designating. And this would be the first corridor designated without the analysis that was done to the other ones. And part of the reason this is important to think about is we don't know, and well, I guess I should say the resolution, Mr. Coolmage's resolution, presumes the answer to Northern Virginia's transportation problems in this particular area. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Eddington Report in the UK. They had economists look at the UK's transportation problems. And everybody's pushing, the environmentalists are pushing high-speed rail, we need big connections between our cities in England. And they looked at it and said, no, actually we don't. We're a lot smaller than France and Spain. What we do have is a massive metropolitan congestion problem inside the greater London conurbation, and we need to fix that with transit and other solutions. So what we're asking for is to look, really, we think, at an area-wide problem in Northern Virginia, working with the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority at the transportation and land use solutions that will benefit the vast majority of people up there. We cannot say without that sort of analysis that a new north-south big circumferential road 50-some miles long is the best solution without having that sort of analysis. And I do want to get into some of the points that were made. You hear a lot about the large population growth numbers. We don't doubt there's lots of population growth coming. We also know there's traffic. We admit that. Everybody's working to try to solve it together. But let's be careful on the population. Mr. Sheffer said 80% of the growth were in those four counties in this big arc. Well, I went through the round 8.0 forecast for the year 2035, and it's 43% of the population in that time period. If we add in all of Prince William and Loudoun, that may not accurately represent the population that may be trying to use this corridor, because eastern Prince William residents are very much oriented towards commuting towards Washington on I-95. If I just count the population in 2035 for western Prince William and for all of Loudoun, I get 30% of Northern Virginia's future population, not some much larger number that has been bandied about. So we have to look at these numbers carefully. On traffic, right now, using VDOT's 2009 numbers, the most recent, you have just 9,100 trips on Route 659 going northbound into Loudoun, 14,000 on Route 15 going northbound. But you have anywhere from 27,000 to 43,000 on some of the roads in Loudoun trying to move east-west. You have up to 80,000 on I-66 trying to move east-west. We have a massive radial commuting problem, and that's what we saw in some of these previous studies. For people frustrated with I-66, one of your appropriately designated corridors of statewide significance, I think they're going to be concerned that a new priority is going to be set that could potentially divert revenues from dealing with what is a horrendous problem in that corridor. On freight, your V-Trans study showed that freight by weight for the airport is 0.1% of all Northern Virginia freight and 0.2% by value. For passenger access to the airport, it's on the east. This corridor makes a 4 to 5 mile longer trip to get in as a passenger. And we could talk about freight as an economic development option for Northern Virginia, but I would prefer us think about the knowledge economy and that rather than having distribution centers. I don't think we want to be Memphis with FedEx. I think we need a different model. But again, these are the sorts of things we need to look at before we actually just designate a corridor in this. And in fact, again, it's because of this back and forth that we really need to do the analysis. Are you prepared as well to have this corridor ranked as high as the I-66, I-81, I-95, I-64, and the major problems we have in those corridors and the need to invest in those corridors? So in the end, I think what's important to the integrity of this body and a fair process is fair process and following a process that you've used before. I will note, even though they were not able to be here today, that Loudoun County, Clark County, and Fauquier County have all issued resolutions opposing this designation. And I think a large part of it was because they weren't notified or consulted on it. I think there are concerns in Fairfax, but I'll let others talk to that. There had been a process before that they had participated in, but I don't think they were notified or consulted in this as well. We have very scarce resources. We have a lot of priorities already on the table. We don't think it would cause a major heartache to delay this by having the opportunity to review it as you have in the previous corridors of statewide significance. Thank you for letting me go a little extra.
Great. Anyone else, Ms. Henley?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, and ladies. My name is Martha Henley, and I live in western Prince William County, where I don't have much trouble going north-south. I have a lot of problem going east-west, particularly into the metropolitan area in D.C. I am here today to address your item number 4. In the last 10 years, I never expected to be concerned about the Western Transportation Corridor ever again. We had a huge citizen group then from Stafford through Prince William and Loudoun counties that were very adamantly opposed to it. Take your pick of what to call this, the 234 bypass extended, Prince William Parkway North, Battlefield Bypass. Then there's the North-South Bi-County Parkway study that was hijacked from the East-West Tri-County Parkway study. The Outer Beltway, the Road to Dulles, the Western Transportation Corridor, which was better known as the Road to Nowhere. That's at least 8 names for the same corridor. A lawyer once told me that a big part of his job was labeling. Control the definitions and you control the conversation. Maybe that explains the dancing around with names for this corridor. The point I'd like to make is that if you are going to add to an already completed study, the way you go about it is very important. I'm a chemist by education. If you are analyzing something, sound procedures are paramount if you want your results to be credible. Willy-nilly just doesn't cut it. You've been through this process for the corridors of statewide significance before, and as I understand it, the Western Transportation Corridor was rejected. I also understand that this corridor is not on the governor's list of priorities. And I believe all the corridors now included are already built. The Western Transportation Corridor would be the only one not constructed. That would be adding an orange to a bucket of apples. But in spite of all that, if you do decide to negate the work of a previous board and reopen the study to add anything, that process needs to be just as rigorous, just as analytical, just as thoughtful, and with just as much, at least as much, public input as the original study. I really would hate to see you do this willy-nilly, which I think this resolution is, because it's not doing a thorough study. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gordon.
Thank you, and good afternoon. I know it's been a very long day already, and so I will try to be mercifully brief in my comments. My name is Brian Gordon.
We got a 6 o'clock hearing, so you can do it as long as you like.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll take as much time as I can.
You're not all saying.
Court had a 4 o'clock.
Go ahead.
I represent the Apartment and Office Building Association. We support the designation of the corridor of statewide significance. We are also members of many of the other business organizations that you've heard from, including the local chambers of commerce. But I'd like to share with you, if I may, a slightly different and more personal perspective, that of a frustrated Prince William County resident and commuter. I happen to be one of those individuals that Mr. Clapper referenced earlier who spends an awful lot of time in my car, and I feel more than I should probably have to. My job takes me throughout the region, from Prince William County to Fairfax to Loudoun into D.C., and I can tell you, having sat on these roads, there is absolutely a need to evaluate all options in front of us. I have heard some criticism that not enough evaluation has gone into this process before designating the corridor, but my understanding of it is that by designating this corridor, it simply allows for that planning to occur and to actually fully explore the options multimodal in those areas. Finally, I would also cite the economic perspective that we've heard from several of the businesses in Prince William County. I can tell you that when I go to Dulles International Airport, it's a significant haul, and you know, you always have to allot the extra hour to get there, so I'm always taking about 3 hours to get to Dulles International Airport. If that access is not enhanced, and as the populations continue to grow, that trip will get even worse, and I do believe that Prince William County's future growth will be threatened by that. So I do ask for your consideration to support the resolution to designate that corridor of statewide significance. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. No one else?
Good afternoon, Mr. Secretary and members of the board. I'm Roger Diedrich. I'm transportation chairman of the Virginia chapter of the Sierra Club, and I live in Fairfax County. I want to speak on this issue of the corridors of statewide significance. I believe you're all aware of a memorandum that Mr. Garzinski wrote about this issue, and I think that I can assume that you all have it. And our view of this letter, that it has many inaccuracies and is inconsistent with other assertions. In particular, Mr. Colmay said that this is only about process, and it was a way of beginning a process. But Mr. Garzinski tipped his hand and made it clear that this is really, well, first of all, the Tri-County Parkway is moving ahead, and it's emphatic, and he's very emphatic about the need for a western bypass or an outer beltway, and that's clear that the whole purpose behind it is to build the outer beltway. So the idea that it's a process is kind of, it's not clear. So there is no need for a corridor of statewide significance except to pave the way for a much more ambitious bypass and do so without a process such as was used previously. Now, all of the jurisdictions that are affected by this, that would be directly affected by this decision, the outer counties and Fairfax, have signed onto a Region Forward Compact, an initiative of the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments, which includes goals such as building more compactly and lowering greenhouse gas emissions, and the addition of such a major roadway facilitated by the resolution under consideration runs counter to these regional goals. Fairfax County has responded to a letter from me inquiring, and they said they have no position on this corridor, but in so stating, they refer to the V-Trans process as the proper place for this discussion. They state that they have not been asked by VDOT or the CTB for a position. Clearly, this is something that should affect Fairfax County. It would be expected to affect them, and yet one cannot expect them to act in a vacuum. I'm not surprised that they would not do that. They haven't been aware that, given enough time to know that this was being considered. Regarding the claim that projected growth in Loudoun and Prince William counties will generate much greater demand for trips, we suggest that a projection is not destiny, and that there are many forces that can guide the future, including wise policy choices made now to change what could happen on the ground. I also had looked at those projections and got similar results as Mr. Schwartz. The projected growth would also largely occur outside, that's something else the projections will show, they will largely occur outside of regional activity centers, which is a goal, a regional goal and a state policy goal to develop in urban development areas. And even if the projections are realized, which I question, the share of the population and jobs in the outer counties will remain at roughly 42% of the population and maybe 30% of the jobs as a share of Northern Virginia. And that means that 70% of the jobs, for example, are still on the inner county, which means that's where the trips are going. They're going back and forth to those jobs on the inner county and into the district, and that's where the demand is occurring. So I urge you to first of all, postpone and engage in a proper process and pursue a push for more aggressive push for highways, and instead consider how funding could be used to promote the design and establishment of high-quality communities served by public transit rather than in having sprawl growth in our regions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chair.
Mr. Secretary, this is a new issue, and I'll be very quick. My name is David Dixon. I work for the Virginia chapter of the Sierra Club, and I want to clarify a few things very briefly on the I-73 Henry County alternative rerouting, and that is, number one, just to clarify, I heard someone refer to the Sierra Club as being one of the plaintiffs on a lawsuit earlier. We've never been a plaintiff on a lawsuit regarding that highway. However, the Sierra Club does oppose the I-73 construction because of the concerns of some of our local members. And we did sign on to Ms. Furster's comment letter calling for a supplemental EIS. And one of the reasons we did so is the potential impacts on public health, and particularly the health of children, as a result of moving the alignment much closer to playgrounds and ball fields in the Fisher Farm Park. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay, at this point, we're going to move to the minutes of April 20th, 2011. Mr. Chase.
Very quickly. A couple points. First of all, this area, this corridor of statewide significance, has been subject to 50 years of state, regional, federal, and local study. Every one of those studies has documented the demand, the needs, and the benefits of improved transportation. Number two, and each one of those studies involved extensive public involvement and comment. This process, this resolution has been before this group for a couple of months, this topic. You have received extensive input from local government, state officials, major universities, airports, businesses, community. You've gotten a lot of input in this. If you held another 20 public hearings, you'd have the same people saying the same things. Three, this corridor meets four criteria. The studies have established the four criteria that have been established. Four, seriously, what rational person or entity would be opposed to studying and following the process that's been outlined here that Mr. Tyer talked about in terms of this is what the COS process is trying to do. Economic benefits, mobility, who would be opposed to this? The opposition to this is coming essentially ideological, it's political, and it's NIMBYism. And these are the basic forces that the CTB was established years ago to counteract and to balance off. And as Dr. Davis said, the COSS process is a 40,000-foot look down, how does this all fit together? Not the fact that there's an individual problem here or someone opposes there, but how do you make this thing work? An example of this is a member of the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors said recently, we don't want Prince William's traffic dumped on our roads. Now, I think anybody who knows Prince William County residents would be blessed to have them on the roads. But these aren't Loudoun roads. These are state roads. These are regional roads. This is about making a transportation network work. It's not about dumping people anywhere. In any other part of Virginia, if we were proposing to do this, They would take you, first of all, to dinner, and they would probably build statues or monuments to you if you were proposing to bring additional state resources to study and look at and help them figure out how to solve their transportation needs. Finally, the COSS process is not an end. It's a beginning. It's all you're talking about now. It's the beginning of a process that includes study, it includes extensive public input and consultation, and all the things we all agree on is important. Surely after 50 years of study, we can agree that we need to move forward to do the type of multimodal evaluation that we've been asking for a long time. This is process. It's about moving people. It's not about dumping people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We've got the minutes of April 20th, 2011. Any modifications? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. Mr. Estes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First item on the agenda is a economic development access project in the Salem District of Giles County. Basically, it's providing access to a named industry as well as some future speculative site, and we'd recommend the board's approval as such.
I move approval.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. Right away. Mr. Bennett.
Secretary, item 2A is a proposed limited access break at the interchange of Route 123 and the Dulles Access Road, which is just to the east of the interchange of 495 and the Dulles Access Road. This limited access break is requested by the owners of office buildings that are just directly to the northeast or northwest of this intersection there that are currently under a long-term lease to a intelligence agency of the federal government. In determining their mission statement, they need a second access point into that and requesting a break that would tie their facility into the northwest ramp of the 123 interchange. I'd like to point out that this is would be an emergency ingress point off of the ramp and a full-time egress point. In your discussion brief in the third paragraph, we've left out that it's a full-time egress point, but that is in the resolution. We have reviewed the geometrics of this location and determined that there are no safety or traffic issues with regard to this intersection. I'd like to point out that this would be a temporary action by the board, which would be terminated at such time as the U.S. government use of that point or those buildings were terminated. And we do have several provisions. We're advancing this today prior to the completion of the Federal Highway Administration review. And as you note in the resolution, there are several other issues that may need to be resolved as far as the Metropolitan Washington Airport Authority from that standpoint. But we're satisfied from a traffic operations standpoint, you know, that it is a viable option.
Mr. Goulet?
Mr. Chairman, without having any personal knowledge of anything he actually talked about, I move the passage of this resolution.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Mr. Rich.
What does the airport say?
I'll second that, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry, Mr. Rich.
What does the airport say about this?
I believe, from what we see, the airport authority or the airport administration is in agreement to the point. However, if we've determined whether or not the jurisdictions of the various agreements between VDOT and operating this roadway requires their board to approve it or not, and that's what we're, you know, working on. But we have not received any negative feedback from the authority administration.
And that's where the flyover for the metro is on the trusses.
I just wanted to get to see what they said.
Okay. Any other questions? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. Mr. Bennett?
Item 2A is a limited access break in connection with the Dulles Metro Corridor project. That's a design-build project. Phase 1 is under construction from I-66 out to the Willie Avenue, and in connection with that, a limited access line needs to be changed in order to accommodate a stormwater facility.
Move to approval, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Item 2C is in the Lynchburg District. It is an item that was taken up by the board in July of last year to change a limited access break. At that time, there were some discussions regarding shifting the break approximately 240 feet to the west. VDOT has, since that time, that issue has been resolved, and the landowners are requesting that change. VDOT has looked at it, and the geometrics at both locations are identical, so we would recommend that.
I move approval.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Programming, Ms. Mitchell. Ms. Buescher.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this month we have our transfers greater than 10% list and transfers less than 10% for your review. The greater than 10%, for the most part, we're looking at projects being closed out, surplus being transferred to other projects, also which includes the Percival North 21st Street Sidewalk Improvement Project and the installation and upgrade signal at US 360 and Elm Street in the Richmond District. I will point out you have one project in Nova transferring funds for the procurement of hybrid vehicles to the procurement of hybrid vehicles in the City of Falls Church. That was an item that was of interest to you all previously when we came back and changed the CMAQ project review process. I do have a note that Mr. Coulomay supports this transfer.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Rich.
Are these hybrid vehicles going to be used for the taxpayers or commuters in some kind of commuting thing, or is it for the fleet of the city, which is their normal budgetary situation?
I believe this is a vehicle to be used by the city.
So it's their own fleet. It's not for the commuters or the taxpayers.
I'll have to ask if Mr. Coulomay knows for sure.
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding this is a public works vehicle. And unlike the vehicles that you and I use where we drive to work and park from the garage and come out at the end of the day, it's a vehicle that's in use throughout the day at project work, and so it is extensively used during the day.
I would oppose this and ask that it be taken out and dealt with separately, because I'm not going to vote for this kind of stuff.
Mr. Chairman.
For the taxpayers, fine.
Mr. Garzinski.
I do support this because it really is for the taxpayers. It may not be directly, but we have air quality standards that we have to meet in metropolitan Washington area, and this type of action does contribute to meeting those standards. Even though it's a public vehicle, it still is contributing to controlling the air quality.
Is there anything?
And the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance, of course, authority has blessed this as well at our last meeting, so the authority stands behind this action.
Is there anything that prevents them from, with their own tax money, buying this for all the wonderful benefits that you have outlined?
Mr. Chairman, may I?
All right, well, yeah, Ms. Coleman.
I think it's important for all of us to understand there are areas of the state that are called unattainment areas for air quality purposes. There's multifaceted responses by localities and regions to those needs. For example, attempting to reduce ozone, overall transportation-related particulate matter, and so forth. And the response of the locality is dictated by the federal statute that governs how to get yourself back into being a region with air quality. Hybrid vehicles are one of the tools. They're not the only tool. They're not even the major tool. But they're part of Northern Virginia's regional response to trying to lower pollution, reduce emissions in vehicles overall, and, quite frankly, have the governments of the region set the example for their citizens about how to responsibly participate in the transportation system. So I can understand that some people don't like hybrid vehicles or don't think they're appropriate, and that's fine. You can vote against this. What I would say is, however, don't attempt to pull down the house of a region that's attempting to comply with federal mandates in a variety of ways, in a very sophisticated way that over the last 10 years has actually reduced pollution in our region, even though we've added a significant number of new people and vehicles.
Mr. Chairman, that doesn't speak to the point. I'm all for reducing pollution, and I have nothing against hybrid vehicles. It's a question of who pays for them. The city can send an example to the taxpayers by paying for their own vehicle. Now, if you want to have a bus or some kind of a commuter vehicle that benefits the taxpayers at large, I see a difference there. But to try to pay for your normal city budget out of these CMAT funds, I think this board at the last time made it clear that we weren't interested in that. So a vote against this is not a vote against hybrid vehicles.
Mr. Chairman, do we have a motion on the floor for the board?
No, we don't.
Motion.
Second. Okay, that's for the full motion. Is there...
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Mr. McCarthy.
What is the item in the Richmond District? I didn't hear about this earlier.
It's the transfer of safety funds on a completed project to another safety project for construction in the Richmond District. I don't have the exact specifics. It's a new UPC. It's a new project,
Chairman,
safety project in Richmond.
Mr. Rich, I have an amendment. I move to strike the hybrid vehicle item on this.
That's a motion. Do we have a second?
Yeah. Second to be considered as a separate vote.
Yeah, separate.
He's just asking to be voted on it separate.
All right. All those in favor of the motion to divide?
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
If the noes have it. We already have the main motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Okay. Ayes have it. Thank you very much. Next one is, I don't know if anybody's heard of this one. Mr. Coulomay, would you like to go over?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, the resolution before you actually first designates a corridor which makes it eligible for a multimodal planning process that includes state, local, and regional authorities. This resolution doesn't establish any priority of any project. It doesn't fund any project. It doesn't speed up or slow down any particular project. In fact, those project evaluation decisions, the solutions that would be proposed, actually flow from the planning process that comes after this designation of a corridor of statewide significance. Second, the CTB, as we learned, is beginning to review the corridors to determine which ones really should proceed to full studies. My purpose in pressing for a Northern Virginia North-South corridor at this time is so it can join in that process. In fact, join the fastest growing region of our state into that process. Third, the CTB did decide to anchor its initial corridor designation process in the V-Trans process. It was convenient. The V-Trans process was underway, and it was a natural place to put it. I think it would be a mistake to wait for another V-Trans process to consider a resolution of this kind because we basically missed the boat, missed the opportunity to bring the multimodal, multi-jurisdictional collaborative effort that really Loudoun, Prince William, Stafford, and other fast-growing counties in the corridor that is designated would need. So I would move the passage of this resolution today, taking into consideration the comments that we have and understanding that all those points, all those specific suggestions are considered as a part of the planning process that's engendered by the passage of this resolution.
You have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Mr. McCarthy.
I have a substitute resolution that I would like to introduce if I get a second for it.
Second.
Thank you. It's for adjournment?
Yeah, it's for adjournment.
Actually, I can distribute it. The first page will look very familiar. You've read Mr. Coulomay's resolution.
Yes, I did.
Second page adds a thought or two. I would suggest an alternate approach that would do the homework first in a transparent, public, technically defensible way in the next few months outside the V-Trans process, and get this idea moving, I'd rather see us look at it carefully first and then designate if that's what the conclusion turns out to be, including a multimodal approach and with buy-in from the public and local officials. And I think this resolution would offer that as a real possibility. Corridor designation is an important undertaking, but I'm not convinced yet that this one that Mr. Coulomb has proposed is so urgent that it requires us to act precipitously and without a solid base of support or public process. So the resolution I have suggested as a substitute, if you look at the second page, the last five paragraphs, I won't read them all to you, but basically they provide for a process in conjunction with VTrans if you want, but not necessarily. I would sum it up by saying, if this is so important, let's move on it rapidly. Let's try to bring it back to the board, say by the end of the summer if possible. And let's make sure we include input from the various transportation agencies and provide for opportunities for comments from the MPOs, the PDCs, the local governments, various kinds of interested public and groups, and the general public on any proposal to change, add, or delete corridors, especially this particular proposed one, which is would be a new corridor, not one that's already existing with the veneer of a corridor of statewide significance label pasted over it. In short, I think it puts a process in place that everybody who's interested can participate in an open, public way, and then the board could take it up as quickly as it would prefer to do, but not necessarily today.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Ms. Bowie.
Along with Dr. Davis and Mr. Coulomb, I served on a transportation board committee that reviewed and fine-tuned VTrans 2035, and certainly was clearly the expressed views of that committee that there would be additional corridors to be considered in the future, and I think this one is a very likely candidate. However, I share Mr. McCarthy's thoughts that the urgency on this, as was pointed out, this general area has been looked at for 15 years or more. I don't see where a couple of months of process evaluation would hurt it. One thing that's different about this from any other of the 11 corridors, all of the other corridors have highways in place, mostly interstates. There is no road, no route that goes all the way through this corridor. I'm not saying that should be a fatal element, but it is an element that needs to be viewed and see, is that a requirement for any corridors of statewide significance? I'm not opposed to the adoption of the 12th corridor here. I'm not opposed to it at all, but I would like to see the additional process applied to this selection.
Any other comments, Mr. Rich?
I would second Mr. Bowie's thoughtful comments and Mr. McCarthy. I think what we need to do here, if we're ever going to make progress on something, is make an effort at transparency and have the parties involved. And we've heard from the lobbyists, and that's fine.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. Do we have a motion on the floor we're discussing?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
This was, he made a motion.
Moved and seconded.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you very much.
We've heard from the lobbyists, and that's not necessarily a dirty word, because you have to gather all kinds of material. When I worked on Capitol Hill, I got material on all sides. But what is really terribly missing here, Mr. Chairman and fellow members, I don't have any stationery with VDOT on it, of the technical people. I don't have any stationery from the technical people in Prince William or Loudoun or Fairfax. In fact, as I wrote you all, the Board of Supervisors member from Fairfax where this would occur has not been consulted, and he asked his staff, has anyone talked to you about this? And they said no. So what we have here is incomplete information. You saw great interest. We wouldn't have had all these people come down to Richmond if we had had at least, as this resolution calls, just one, not 10 or 20, one public hearing in the area where people can talk about this. The reason that this is so important, other than the fact that I commute through this area all the time, and it is a horrendous mess, and we need to spend hundreds of millions of dollars in order to get hundreds. We need to improve 66, widen it. The interchange at 66 and 28 must be done. We need to bring transit out through 66 into Prince William. 50 needs to be widened. There's something called the Dulles Loop, which is, I think, an $80 million project. That should have been done 10 years ago. Part of the road is two lanes leading into Dulles Airport. So there are things that need to be done. But we don't have a lot of money. You all saw, I don't have to repeat it again, I guess, we're transferring half of our construction money into the maintenance. Hampton Roads has problems. The Stanton District has problems. We have to be very careful, as the governor said, spend your funds wisely. And I think that's what we're trying to do here. Let's have VDOT technical people in on this and the technical people from the jurisdictions. This has been the most politicized process that I've ever seen. And obviously, there's politics dealing with roads. I just didn't fall off the cabbage truck yesterday. But this is all politics and no technical stuff. What I'm asking for, and I think what my colleagues are asking for, let's get some technical stuff on the table and then vote. And don't hold this up forever. I agree with Mr. McCarthy. Let's, after we've had some technical review, let's vote on the thing, up or down.
Mr. Martin.
Mr. Secretary, I would vote for this if it comes to the floor today. I strongly suspect I would vote if it comes to the floor after the substitute motion. Does procedure in any way permit me to ask directly the sponsors what value we gain by doing it today or what we risk by waiting?
Mr. Chairman?
Sure, Mr. Gorzenska.
Let me respond to that in terms of why the urgency. And I think it was emphasized to me this morning by David Tyrier's presentation. He is in the process of seeing us within the next 30 days and developing a priority list of existing corridors of what they're going to be concentrating on and what they may break them down to. We take this into another 60 to 90 days, or whatever it takes. We've missed out on being part of David's process. And I think, as Bob stated, we have had a lot of input. The Northern Virginia Transportation Authority, just in reviewing their goals and objectives at their last meeting, the technical advisory committee of that authority has always, and that's engineers and planners, that's not elected officials, have always recommended a north-south study was very relevant to our area. And we've heard about Dulles Airport, and we talk about economic engines and the vitality of our whole region. We talk about Prince William County certainly has had their technical people and their transportation people look at the corridor and support it. Loudoun County had a resolution against it. However, when they came before us 2 weeks ago at the six-year plan hearing, in the very document they delivered for the record, made several different references to north-south corridors that were vital to Loudoun County roads, but yet they're against the north-south corridor study. There was an incongruity there in what they were asking for in the six-year plan. I think the urgency is there now. George Mason University, Dr. Merton, couldn't be here this morning, but he's testifying by letter, strongly urging that this be adopted now. And I guess I viewed my job in coming to this appointment as trying to get things moving, goods and people in Northern Virginia and throughout the Commonwealth. And something that I've been in this business 33 years, all in Northern Virginia. And as Mr. Chase said, this has been studied to death. There's ideologies here, as Mr. Rich pointed out, that will probably not be changed. And, you know, I call for action because of those reasons.
Mr. Coyne?
Mr. Chairman, let me address the question of the urgency. At our six-year improvement plan hearing, and I'm sure this happened at yours as well and will happen tonight, basically you have local jurisdictions and regional authorities come and ask for consideration of specific projects or things that that they want. In this case, for example, the representative from Prince William County asked that VDOT fund the extension of 234 to the Loudoun County line. I mean, his responsibility to his constituents was Prince William County, and there's no reference to what happens at the Loudoun County line. Where does it connect? Does Loudoun County plan anything that would connect with it? Similarly, Loudoun, as Mr. Garzinski pointed out, asked for widening of Belmont Ridge Road, a major north-south corridor, they called it, but only to the Greenway, not any further south. In other words, not so it would actually connect with something in Prince William County and on to 95 and so forth. The city of Manassas asked for Route 28 to be improved within their town limits. Well, that's their jurisdiction. That's what they should ask for. The problem is, unless the CTB or others step in to make sure those things fit together, you get a tremendous number of investments that actually do not improve regional or statewide connectivity, that spend a lot of money and don't provide the relief, the multimodal alternatives, or the connections that actually we need. That is the role of the CTB. To me, that's why the CTB was given the responsibility under the law by the General Assembly to designate corridors, because it's corridors we're trying to keep open, keep connected, keep developing, and keep moving. Otherwise, we all turn into a mess. I don't think it's politics at all, Mr. Rich. In fact, I think it's the opposite. This is about vision, and it's about leadership. And leadership you don't prove by statistics from a staff, not VDOT staff, not anybody's staff. Vision and leadership come from people who are charged with having vision and understanding, taking a step forward to make something happen that needs to happen. What I'm trying to do is step forward and make something that needs to happen happen. And what that happen is a multimodal collaborative planning process among the jurisdictions in Northern Virginia, the regional authorities, and the Commonwealth Transportation Board. That's it. What comes out of that collaborative effort will come out of the collaborative effort. Everything people have tried to feed into this resolution as a result down the road is not in this resolution. A process is in this resolution. So I would oppose, with all due respect, Mr. McCarthy, a substitute process for this process. We have a process. We don't need a process to get to a process. We have a process, and that's what I'd like to have. So I would urge my colleagues to vote against Mr. McCarthy's motion, and let's move ahead with something we know needs to happen and that engenders a process that even those who worry about it are trying to articulate needs to happen.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Mr. Rich.
I want to reemphasize my support for Mr. McCarthy and Mr. Bowie and their resolution. You're not going to get a collaborative process by poisoning the well at the beginning. The local folks are going to dig their heels in. The lobbyists are going to start surrounding the thing. This is a very poor way to start. If we start out on the right foot, it's hard enough to get anything approved in Northern Virginia the way it is. But if you start out rolling people and stiffing people, it's just not going to work. There are legitimate concerns about how this north-south corridor would connect. As Congressman Wolf says, if something is set forth that dumps all kinds of traffic on Route 7 and they have nowhere else to go, and I don't know if you're ever going to get a Maryland that owns the river to give you a river crossing, we have solved nothing. And let me go back to Mr. Tyre's statement on what he said his process was. Having the right data to make responsible decisions on spending on scarce spending resources. That's what we're talking about. And we can't let Dulles Airport drive this thing. I mean, it's a good airport. Their current management is completely out of control. The Congressman Wolf has them under investigation by the Department of Transportation and the General Accounting Office. They're throwing money out the window. $300 million for a metro stop. Now, we're going to put $6 billion into a rail line into Dulles. Again, with no money for operating. That hasn't even been thought about. Dulles already has two roads. One road that's dedicated completely to it, the Dulles Access Road. The Commonwealth gave them the toll road, and they're jacking up the tolls. And people, the community, spending is no limit with the group that's in there now. I know they're trying to get some new management. The congressman has legislation to expand the membership so we can get more responsible people. The governor is putting fiscally responsible people on there, but right now that's out of control.
Mr. Chairman,
yep.
If everybody's had their say, I think we've heard enough on this, and I don't want to call the question on anybody.
Dr. Biggs, I just make one point.
Before I, maybe on the continued point of order,
sure.
I would also hope that our colleagues would all observe a level of civility and being very careful how we impugn the integrity of each other on issues that we might disagree with each other on. And I think we should hold a very high standard for our discussions and debate, and I don't think we're there right now, so I simply ask that we consider that.
I appreciate that, Dr. Davis. Because I just want to make a point about what the rush is or isn't. You know, I'll start by saying, at least from the perspective of the McDonald administration, is that we do sort of have, or cognizant of time, okay, and that we've been in office for just about a year and a half, and our opportunity as an administration get into place processes that will in the future lead to real substantial transportation improvements and improve the lives of our citizens and improve our economy is something that we're very cognizant of and we're moving very diligently on. When we got into office, one of the first things I talked to then, the acting commissioner, was restarting the 66 EIS, which was killed 8 years ago. A study that was more than needed, looking at a multimodal study, and two administrations ago killed it. We had to start the EISs for 64, processes that should have started years ago, but unfortunately were not pursued at all. We're doing the EIS inside 66, doing the studies there because of needed improvements there. We're now doing another EA on 95 for the hot lanes, and then we're doing an EA for a ramp on the hot lanes, for the HOB lanes up at Seminary Road. You know, time, quote unquote, isn't on our side, and why we are continuing to push and try to show leadership on items is that when we do all these studies, we're looking at no more than a year or so left in this administration on these big items. Here is one where, you know, quite honestly, I hate to say this, I got probably much more history than any of you, other than Mr. Rich, but much more of the details than anyone else regarding the problems that we're facing today and in the long term between on Northern Virginia, and the fact that, you know, we have no north-south connectors, and we don't have a north-south connector between 95 or Route 7. I live in eastern Prince William. It is faster to me, even during rush hour, to drive up 95, hit the Beltway, come back through, and then come back on the Dulles Access Road if I have to go to Dulles. Last Friday, I went out to Loudoun Chamber to speak. I went up 234, went fine through 234, got up to 66. Stop from 234 to 28. And why is it stopped at 28? Because thousands of cars were going up 66, having to get off on 28 to go up towards the Dulles Airport area. The thing is that we have numerous studies. In fact, we continue to pursue. I mean, we have this EIS still out there on both the 234 extension, the Battlefield bypass, and the Tri-County / Bi-County Parkway. These are all out there. And the question is that you got all these things actually out there right now. Whether you want to admit it or not, we have right now three different environmental studies looking at these various quote-unquote roadways. And we are not doing anything to kind of look at it from a multimodal perspective. Those studies have happened. We're doing them right now. We're nearing the end of them. And the question is on very specific facilities, how do we make sure that we're looking at everything? Not just roads, we're looking at transit, we're looking at bike paths, we're looking at whatever. But you can't get away from the simple fact that Dulles Airport is an economic engine for us today. And it's going to become even more so as we look for ways to try and deal with what will be the inevitable downturn in government spending in, you know, crossing on states, but in Northern Virginia. And how do we end up trying to take the assets that we have and make them as economically viable as possible? So the only thing I'm just trying to tell you is that, you know, I don't know what the process is. I think one of the things you heard today was from Mr. Tyer is, and we don't have a process for adding ones. And in fact, in some ways, when I look at the law, there is an inherent inconsistency in the law regarding the establishment of these corridors of statewide significance, because it does talk as if we're supposed to go out and look for new ones, because we're supposed to be coordinating land use plans and whatever. But then what we really did in implementing the law was to really look at existing corridors, existing roadways. And instead of finally starting to say, okay, you know, do you start to put the money and the effort into doing studies on a corridor before you designate a corridor, or do you designate a corridor and then go and end up looking at the studies? We know we got a problem up there. No, I, you know, in some ways, I listened to some of the discussion. There is a problem. It's going to get worse. It's going to continue to get worse. And the issue for us as a state is to start to show leadership in some of these areas, because quite honestly, you know, I'm an old local government guy, but I will tell you, go along with Mr. Coulomb's, you know, points and some of the other points, our issues end at the border. I always used to love, why is it I got my worst, quote-unquote, sprawl in Prince William County was always on our northern border. Why? Because we knew all those people would get on the roads and drive into Fairfax. And why do I have some of the biggest, where are my biggest problems, where are biggest problems in Prince William? Were people like Mr. Rich driving through from Fauquier County, where they were, I mean, I used to get more complaints from people from Fauquier driving through Prince William about congestion problems and rezonings and whatever than I did about people in Prince William some days. And so it's just, again, listen, the issue is whether you go study this stuff, we look and say, this is a very important corridor getting up to Dulles Airport from 66. I'm going to use a perfect analogy. I view this like my inland port in Front Royal, okay, where we purposely, you know, put an intermodal facility right there on 66, so trucks come right off 81, they go up there, they dropped off their chassis, and then we truck it, we trained it to the port, saving 30,000 round, well, 30,000 each way, trucks going to Norfolk and coming back. We have this other economic engine already there. That's the airport. How are we going to get there? 28, even with, we've made it 8 lanes, 10 lanes in some places. It's still a problem, particularly at the termini. The issue is how do we get on the western side of that airport? And I think that, again, I just think we just need to designate it and move on and start to do the studies that would lead to, and it's not going to, unfortunately, be during my tenure as secretary, you know, but it's going to be at least laying the groundwork, working with the local governments. We don't even have a framework now for them to actually sit down and start to look at these issues. So,
Mr.
with
Chairman,
that,
just one quick question. Since you mentioned my name, I've always supported improvements to 66, and so has Fauquier County.
I know, I appreciate it. I know that's because you went into the city.
No. But is this on the governor's priority list? It is not.
This issue is on the governor's priority list.
I'd like to see exactly where it is.
Okay. You're going to get a call from him, and he's going to talk to you about it.
Good. Mr. Secretary, 30-second indulgement?
Yes, sir, Mr. Martin.
Is there a chance, other than perhaps that proverbial snowball, of taking Mr. McCarthy's now, therefore, and putting it in and substitute of be it further resolved on the original motion? I'm not happy with the procedure in the original motion. Mr. McCarthy's procedure looks very well thought out and useful for the future. That compromise would allow us to have a viable plan for the future and address this motion today.
Okay, so you're saying is your motion, you would ask...
Parliamentarily, we could find a way to, on the original motion where it says be it further resolved,
to pick up where Mr. McCarthy's motion says, now be it resolved down through the end.
Is that all right?
Are you,
yes, Chairman.
Yes.
Are you suggesting that the outcome of that would be we would vote on a motion that would approve this as a corridor of statewide significance and then create a plan for future ones?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, can I say one more?
Yes,
Mr. I've been listening for about an hour now, and I was going to be gone about an hour ago, but I decided I better stay. I'm very torn about this whole process, and I'm torn for a couple of reasons. One is I know the problems that Northern Virginia has. I'm an urban representative. If you read the code, one of the things I'm supposed to be sort of focused in on are ports and airports and other similar facilities, which I appreciate your staff giving me, so now I really know what I'm supposed to be looking at. But mindful, of course, my primary responsibility as a whole state, as the rest of ours is, under the code. And I think it would be highly unlikely for me not to want to designate this as a corridor of significance. Having said that, I'm concerned that we don't have a process to designate one or not. I think Mr. Colmay suggested that perhaps there was, but you've just said we don't have one, and the statute is perhaps contradictory or unclear. We're not going to rewrite the statute. That's not our job. But we have heard from a lot of local government folks. I'm a huge Chamber of Commerce folks, so I sort of sit on that side of the fence typically. But we've heard from a bunch of local governments that said they weren't even sort of part of the process. Whether that's true or whether that's not, I don't know. I'm just reading and hearing. So I'm sort of a proponent of it, but I don't like how we got here. And I thought that Mr. Bowie's and Mr. McCarthy's sort of vision of 60 days to sort of, you know, at least go pay some respect to these folks and say, listen, you know, we're going to listen to you a little bit more, but at some point we've got to move on because we've got business to do. We're going to make a decision. It's sort of where I end up. So I'm sort of torn. I don't really think 60 days costs us anything. You're going to drag us back here. Maybe that's process over result, but so be it. But that's sort of where my brain is.
It's not going to be 60 days. All right, just you're.
Well, I'm not here to debate with you. I'm just saying
it's not going to be 60 days. I mean, the issue is I mean, we don't even know. I mean, and I just want to. And I very much appreciate Mr. McCarthy bringing this forward. I understand this process problem he has. I mean, and the problem, but the thing is, we don't have a process. We've never adopted a process. But I don't even know what I'm supposed to be weighing when I look at that process. I mean, so we go out and have meetings with people. And then we say we need data. And then we go, well, we don't have data because we've never designated this as a corridor and I haven't put any money into it.
Well, we designated 11 up to this point, so we had a process we used to look at those 11.
No, that was the first discussion, was we haven't done anything past that. We've done nothing past that. And that was Mr. Tyer's whole presentation was, well, what data should we go out there and start looking for and how we should prioritize?
Well, obviously I wasn't here then, and I don't want to belabor this, but
yeah.
Y'all just designated 11. You used some process. I don't know what it was. I wasn't here. Now, you didn't prioritize them.
It's what
but
existed.
You used the process.
It was what existed.
But it was what existed.
Excuse me?
It was what existed.
We've never had a new.
We just described what existed.
So somebody designated the state.
Well, I mean, we did. All of us that were here did. And those of us that were on the task force tried to clarify some of the language. But basically, we described the corridors of significance that currently existed. It's what we did. They all were already there.
Yeah, and it was a part of a vision document. Instead, we looked backwards at what already existed as opposed to looking forward to what needed to exist 2035. And that's what I find, Mr. Chairman, interesting, because that was a vision document that really tasked us to look ahead. In this case, we didn't actually look ahead. We looked ahead at we needed to do some things, but we didn't really fully envision. Our subcommittee at that time made a number of suggestions about priorities that weren't mentioned in the report. And the idea that here's five things that if Virginia does not do them, it doesn't matter if Virginia does all the others. Because we would have lost the economic engine, we would have lost the economic momentum, and we would have lost the attractiveness as a business state. So you can build all the left turns lanes you want, but if you don't service the growth in the port, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to be there to turn left. Similarly, if we don't improve freight or we don't improve access to Dulles, we end up choking ourselves. So I don't have a problem with anchoring corridors in a visioning process. The fact is we did that and what we didn't come out with vision. And I don't know that this body can ever again just postpone things and wait for 5 more years till the next visioning process.
Well, I don't think anybody's
what it's doing because the world is too volatile.
It's just sort of a shame. Let me finish and I'll be shut up again. It's shame on us, okay? If this should have been done, then we should have done this before and say, how do we add them to this damn document? We should have figured that out. So now we put ourselves in a position where we're debating amongst ourselves about a process that should have been figured out some time ago, and it certainly should be figured out before we troop into it with adding new ones or deleting old ones or whatever. I mean, it's not a good position to be in. So,
yeah, Mr. McCarthy.
I'm done.
Mr. Chairman,
I'd ask you all to call the question and move
members
on.
Members of the board, actually, because we don't have a process for designating new corridors, my resolution is, in fact, a process for the possibility of designating a new corridor. I've asked that it be expedited, and I've asked that we follow a logical, open, inclusive process in the place of no process whatsoever, which is where we are today. This is a process. It'll probably turn out to be the same result, but at least we will have paid respect to everybody else who is interested in it, not just the gang of us sitting here.
Dr. Davis, and then
I'll be very brief.
Sorry.
I don't think anybody can say that a visioning document is a process. A visioning document is exactly what it's called. It's the best thinking of a group of people about what might happen in the future based on the best information they have at that time. I was a part of that with a small group that brought a report back to the entire body. The entire body said, we think this is a pretty fair description of where we think we'll be in 2035. Now, I don't think anybody thought that was the absolute final word for the next 10 until 2035 when we were going to look at it again. I think we all knew there would be changes to it. And how would the changes occur? They would occur the same way that occurred. A group of the people responsible for making those decisions would probably do the thinking, bring it back and gain consensus of the body, and put it out to everybody that this is our best thinking for what will happen. What Jerry's describing here is a perfectly nice order or way of doing things, but that doesn't mean we ought not designate this corridor as being really important to the future of the Commonwealth, and let's get on with it. And that's all we're saying. We're visioning that corridor is important for the future. Let's say it, and then let's say there's a process that we need to try to follow as we change it in the future, and get on with it. It doesn't make any sense to put more into what a vision document is than it really is.
Mr. Lane.
I was going to say what Dr. Davis said, except add one thing. Does anybody vote going to change by if we go to another process? I mean, truly, it's going to be form over substance. So I would advocate that we take this vote up or down, whether we're going to put this in here or not. We can talk a lot later about how we be nice to everybody, but we were charged with doing these things.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry, Mr. Karczynski.
Just in a comment to Mr. McCarthy's resolution, and I go back to what David presented this morning. In his bubble diagram, he had a process for prioritizing corridors. I personally dug through the motion and me seconding it, and hopefully others on the board, want to get involved in that process. And that process, if we are designated a corridor today, we'll be in that process, which includes a public airing of the possibilities that exist in that corridor. So I look at it that way as making sure that we have broad public opinion in the process without having to have a substitute motion.
Okay,
real
Mr. Richard.
Quick, it's just a question of starting out on the right foot. It's going to be a difficult process, and you want to make the effort. Maybe you're not going to win, but make the effort to bring people in. My question to you all is, if you want to move this, why are you fiddling around with this? why don't we fund the Tri-County Parkway right now, put it in the six-year plan?
Is that a motion?
What's all that?
Do we have a second?
I mean, why are we going through all of this?
No, I mean, I'm very serious, Mr. Rich. Let's do it. Will you support it?
But if you want to turn it into a western bypass at Route 7 all the way to 95,
just turn it anything.
I've never said that. In fact, I've said the opposite over and over.
Okay. All righty. All those in favor of Mr. McCarthy's motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
I asked for a report.
All right. So let's go around. Mr. Hollis. Mr. Ellis?
Nay.
Mr. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Garzinski?
Nay.
Mr. Dave, Dr. Davis?
No.
Mr. Martin?
No.
Mr. Bowie?
Aye.
Mr. McCarthy? Yes.
Aye.
Mr. Keene?
Nay.
Mr. Coulombe?
No.
Mr. Lane?
No.
Mr. Lauterbach?
Aye.
And Mr. Miller?
Couldn't you start at the other end?
You're not a delayer, Chef.
Excuse me?
You're not a delayer. You're an action guy.
Yeah.
Mr. Miller? No, yes. What do we got?
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I will vote no.
Thank you. All right. The noes have it. Now we have the main motion. Mr. Martin was asking a friendly amendment. They had the last two whereases onto your resolution. So you passed the essentially it would be you passed the north-south one, but then add these about a new essentially a new process, a process for all further new ones. Is that, you're the maker of the motion? Is that acceptable to you?
Mr. Chairman, I would accept that as friendly amendment.
I would accept that also.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, was that the whereases or the now therefore?
I think it's really the now therefore. We're going to have to play with this language, I mean, but to make it jive. But essentially, would be the main motion, accepting this north-south one, and then, but then establishing, taking Mr. McCarthy's to, you know, essentially establishing this process for the future. Is that acceptable? That's acceptable to the maker?
Second.
That's a friendly amendment. All right.
Call for the question on the friendly amendment.
Okay. Or on the whole.
Actually, you're accepting it.
So yes, he's accepting and seconding.
And would you just make sure we just point out, so we're going to, that amendment now would allow us to vote on this quarter, adding it, but then setting a process up for how we would go forward.
Yes.
Is that correct?
So we're basically acknowledging we need a process. We just didn't use it for this one.
That's right. That's right.
Let's go forward.
I mean, that's what it's saying.
Fine. Forward on future corridors.
Yeah. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The ayes have it.
Recorded vote.
Do we have recorded votes?
Yeah, we do.
No, I know, but we don't record them. We just simply go around. Yeah. All right, so I'll just do the nays. Who's a no? Mr. Rich?
No.
Mr. McCarthy. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you all very much. Mr. Sellies, the silence, please come on up. Thank you all very much.
Mr. Chairman,
do
we need
to... Right. Excuse me? They took it off. They realized that they found the older resolution. So we just been updated. So thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I bring before you today 10 projects for your consideration.
Hey, please take it outside. Thank you.
We have 7 VDOT projects for award, 1 for rejection, 1 design build by the City of Newport News, and 1 by the City of Virginia Beach. So we're asking for your consideration on these projects.
Have a motion?
Move for approval.
Jeff, second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Anything else?
Thank you.
Nope. All right. New business? Anything new?
Secretary.
Yes, Ms. Garzinski.
Just as a food for thought or possibly a recommendation, we've had some issues come up before this board today that took a lot of time and a lot of thought. I would like to see us have a strategic planning meeting where we have a set-aside day where we get into some of the policy issues more in depth and outside of this room where we can really sit and talk policy.
and if that could be considered for next year's calendar.
Have we ever actually had...
I have my support.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask if have we ever had a retreat? Can I just throw this out to the board? Would you all be interested in maybe us trying to schedule a couple days just together someplace? And we obviously would be open to the public. Just to start talking through some of these issues, plans.
If it were vision oriented, I think it would be great. I think we ought to stick to business on tough issues. But
maybe what we can do is we'll plan on doing a board meeting at UBA and then staying overnight and then doing a thing all day during the vision.
That'd be great.
All right. What would be good, people, summer or September? Or Virginia Beach. Is summer is bad for everybody? Do you want to try to do it?
You don't meet in August. You don't meet in August, so you got some.
Yeah. All right. So you want to do it September or July?
September.
September. So we're going to try to shoot for this in September? Is that okay with everybody? We'll try to do the thing out in the UVA. We'll spend the night, go through a whole bunch of stuff.
Football's in town weekend.
Well, hopefully. Well, no, that's going to be a waste. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you all very much.
You know, Chef.